When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my beautiful wife,
Shira.
Shira, I'm sorry. I've told you this multiple times today, but you look incredibly beautiful. I just thought I'd let you know that. But anyway, man, we're glad that you are on with us for another episode of the Black Mary Deffrey podcast. Welcome to 2022, right? I mean, we're officially here. And just to welcome you here, for those who are new, we would like to ask of you to send us a 5-star review if you enjoy our podcast, if you haven't already. And if you have already left us a 5-star review based on our last episode, send us an email at blackmarriedebtfree@gmail.com and remind us that, hey, I left a 5-star review. And we're going to reply with a link to our masterclass, Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth. No strings attached, just to say thank you. So, Shira, let's get right into today's episode because, you know, we're coming off a pandemic. It's fresh off the pandemic, and a lot of things have transpired in the world. But one of which is the Great Resignation. We're going to talk about the Great Resignation and what that is and what that means. Shire, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, I'm still stuck on, you said we're coming off the pandemic
like
it was over. And I was like, wow, right. I didn't get that memo.
No, it's still here.
It's still here.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think the Great Resignation is about people rethinking the way that we do work.
Yes.
And a lot of people have switched jobs or quit their job altogether. So in 2021, 38 million workers quit their job. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about that today. One thing that caught my attention is that this change has impacted multiple industries.
Right.
Of course, hospitality, that's probably the hardest hit industry. And then also trade, education, a lot of our essential workers, people of color, and women. Mm. A lot of women are putting family first. I mean, we do that anyway,
yeah,
as you all know, but some families are having challenges with childcare and just other difficulties where women are reexamining what their role will be in terms of the workforce. So
yeah, I think it was a friend of ours that said, you know, people realized during this pandemic that their job, you know, the love they have for their job, maybe that love wasn't as reciprocal as they had hoped, you know. And so I think we're going to get into why we think this happens, you know, the resignation in mass is happening. But that could be part of it, you know what I mean? Especially, like you said, for young working moms and women, you know, started to prioritize things a little bit differently, you know, want some more flexibility. So let's get into it, Shire.
Yeah, so why do you think it's happening?
Those are some of my reasons right there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you put so much into work, Shire, especially like I said, I come from a family where work is important. I mean, we know my dad, he still talks today about how, you know, he went years without calling in sick and he passed that down to us. And like, I used to wear that as a badge of honor. Like, man, no days off. You know what I mean? I'm working hard. And then you start to realize like, you don't get anything special for that. You never taking a day off. And the guy who knows how to work the system, at the end of the day, y'all getting the same raises at the end of the year. Y'all getting the same love at the end of the year. So it's just like, why? You know, my job doesn't love me the way I love it. And I think people realize that during the pandemic. It's like, you're just you're a cog in this big system, you know. And I think that people are just getting enlightened to that. That was probably for me the biggest. That's probably one of the biggest reasons for this mass resignation, great resignation.
Yeah, and it's not to say that like you shouldn't do a good job.
No,
you know what I'm saying. It's not to say that, but it's like, okay, I need to start prioritizing my mental health. I need to start prioritizing my family. I can't, like, it's not your company. Yes. You know, many times, you know, you're working for someone else, or you're working for, you know, an organization or agency.
Facts.
And so if you're accruing sick time and vacation time, why just let it sit there? And I am totally guilty of that. Like, I rarely take vacation.
Yes.
And so that is something that I definitely want to work on going into 2022. Yeah. Another thing that I found interesting around the changing work landscape and a lot of places allowing flexible work schedules is that most Black people actually do not want to return to the office. So I found some interesting information on that. One was from CBSNews.com. There was an article titled "Why Many Black Employees Don't Want to Return to the Office." And one of the reasons that they cited was that workplaces that are predominantly white have taken a toll on Black people. They mentioned
a bit exhausting.
Yeah. So they mentioned feeling marginalized at work, having lower pay despite having higher education and having the credentials to work in those higher level roles. The article also mentioned microaggressions. It mentioned a research out of Harvard talking about code switching and the feeling that, you know, we have to become someone else at work to conform to the work environment. Marcus is like sitting up straight and like,
or I could just chill, but there's a difference. You're right. Code switching, man.
Yeah. Code switching. And so, I feel that that's valid. And I feel that in terms of the great resignation, a lot of people are looking for flexibility and a lot of people, are not as enthusiastic about returning to the office, especially people of color because of those things. And when you're working from home, you don't have to worry about microaggressions. You don't have to worry about questions about your hair. You don't have to worry about, just certain things. You know, you're working from home and maybe your work can just be recognized as your work, you know, without some of the other issues that we face as people of color. Another thing that we saw in a mini documentary was the fact that there are more non-people of color who want to return to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though they might have the flexibility to work from home, they want to go in.
That's all you need to know about the workplace inequity right there.
Like they want to be there, you know?
They're good.
So imagine, a workplace where you have an option and then you have people of color working from home and then you have people who are not of color going in.
What does that look like, Sharon?
And what does that look like? Does that look like the non-person of color is a better worker because they're going in? And we know that that's not the case. I know that's not the case having work from home. Sometimes you're working more a lot of times when you're working from home, but it's just that perception. Like, how do you manage that? How do you balance that as a person of color if you're given the option, you know?
The documentary also stated how that would create somewhat of a good old boys club, right? Because now you have minorities and women who want to stay home, and you have what's left, predominantly white males, Caucasian males that are more willing to go into the office. And so now the office looks more like it did in the 50s when there's less women there and there's definitely less people of color there. And that's just not something that, you know, is that something we really want? You know what I mean? Or do we want the diversity and the equity in the physical space? So it's just a lot to unpack, but yeah, these are some good things, Shire.
Yeah. So, recently I actually participated.
Break it down, Shar.
In the Great Resignation.
Ooh, you did?
I did. I did. I resigned a position.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I moved on to another organization. And so I wanted to talk a little bit personally about some of the reasons why.
Participated. Yeah, Shai, you're a bit buttoned up. You never really tell the people your stuff. So I'm glad that I'm here with y'all. I'm excited to hear this story.
I'm airing it all out. Yeah. One of the things that we just mentioned was that working from home has allowed people of color to be recognized for their work, you know, without the microaggressions, without, you know. And so for me, that was the case. I was recognized for the work that I do or that I did do for that organization. I was able to step into an interim leadership role for well over a year and did an outstanding job. But when it was time for that interim role to be filled permanently, I was passed up for that promotion. Even though I had hands-on experience, my evaluation reviews were outstanding and I had exceeded expectations. I have exceeded expectations every year that I work there.
Checked all the boxes.
I checked all the boxes, y'all. I checked all the boxes. And I was still passed up for a promotion. And so what I was told was I was too young in my career. That was one of the factors. While my experiences were good, my background was strong, I was already doing a good job, you know, I was still too young in my career. And that upset me because I'm in my mid-30s. You know, this was a leadership role within the organization. But I had to, like, stop and think. And I say young in my career. Well, if you think that I'm going to work until my mid-60s, right. You know, the average age of retirement in the U.S. is 62. Then by that standard, by that standard, I am young in my career. So I ended up resigning and, you know, if I were to stay, I was expected to train the new person. And that was just not something that I was mentally prepared to take on.
Right. It's like once you get a taste, it's like once I'm doing the work, it's kind of going to be hard for me to go back. You know what I mean? That's with anything. It's like once you get a taste of elevation, you want that and you deserve right. that. You've proven you can do that and you can handle it. So it's sometimes you have to decide, do I want to go back to what I was doing or do I want to, as LeBron says, take my talents elsewhere, take my talents to South Beach, you know?
Right.
So that's what you had to do.
Right. And so another reason why I left was because I wanted to work for an organization that was more diverse and an organization that had people of color in leadership. And where I was, that wasn't happening. So the feedback that I received was from, you know, middle-aged white man. And he even told me I should go back to school and get a PhD. But a PhD for a white man might not do the same things for me as a black woman. And so, I think that maybe his intentions were well, you know, I definitely have good rapport and left and I left on good terms and I would definitely encourage that. But for me, I wanted to work for an organization that not only talk the talk, but walk the walk when it came to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And many people of color across the U.S., I feel like a lot of us have been working more since George Floyd. Some employers have gone to their black employees and have said, hey, we want to do a better job. And
help me.
Yeah. help us to treat you the way that we treat, you know, non-people of color. And for some it's been burdensome, you know, that's a whole nother job. You know, you can reach out and hire someone with that expertise. And I think there's value in asking your employees how you can do a better job. Right. But at a certain point, it becomes burdensome if you're taking up their time, but also expecting them to keep up with their workload. So for me, I'm like, you know what? I want to do a job that I enjoy. I want to work with a diverse team. I'm tired of being the only woman of color showing up on these Zoom calls. You know, I need to relax a little bit more. Yeah. And so that played a role in why I participated in the Great Resignation. And then also work-life balance.
It's my favorite, man.
Yes. I've been very stressed. I've been stressed this past year. And I have stepped down from a managerial role. And I'm going into a position with less leadership responsibility and more pay. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was prioritizing my mental health. Of course, I could have left and got some, you know, power, spunky title and try, you know. I just said, no, I'm going to prioritize myself. I'm going to prioritize my family. And I want to do a fun job. I want to do a job that I'm going to enjoy. If you want 40 hours out of me, I need to like what I'm doing. And so that's just.
I'm just.
He's been living with me. So.
I love that story, Shire. And you already know, I've already heaped verbal praise upon you for this, but I just love even hearing it again. I'm getting excited because you're right. It's about work-life balance. First of all, you deserve better and you're getting better. And it is about that work-life balance, you know, for me as well. Me and Shire, the calculation is already set. We know when we're going to retire. We know how we're going to retire. All we have to do is simply earn what we earn until then. And it's going to happen. So why not enjoy it? Enjoy the ride. Not, you know, put on so much burden that it becomes an unenjoyable thing. And so part of that is work-life balance. We know if you're familiar with Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, we know that men have an ability to compartmentalize that maybe women don't. But for me, I'm able to compartmentalize work and shut it off. Shara's like, I can't do that. You know what I mean? As well. And you shouldn't have to, you know, that shouldn't be something you have to do. That's just a benefit that men happen to do that. But if you work somewhere where you're not bringing stress with you, it's not, you know, being micromanaged and all this stuff, life's a little bit better. So I'm really excited about this next phase, Shire, because I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to love it.
Yes. I really pray that I do. Yeah. And ultimately everything worked out so perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like everything worked out, like the timing from ending one job to going into the next job. Like,
I mean, you had the big joker, Shire. I mean, like who doesn't want that? You know, so I don't get this job. Okay. Well, it just so happens that I actually got accepted for another job. So,
right. Yeah. And that's exactly how it happened. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful. But one of the things that I did want to talk about is what I did to prepare to leave my job.
Mm, I like
and
that.
And also get some of your feedback and some of your thoughts as well. So, for me, I couldn't just say I quit and
never that
just walk away. Right. I could not do that.
Right.
So one of the things that I did was I updated my resume to the best of my ability. And then I invested into a career coach and I work with a resume writer. Mm. And so we spent almost $1,000 on that.
Yeah.
And that is the most money I have ever spent on myself. Period. I mean, I can't think of another time that I had $1,000 and I spent it just on me.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a huge, for me, that was a huge
investment.
Other
than school, right?
Yeah.
Other than school.
But see, school.
That's a hit different.
Exactly. Sometimes you'll have an assignment when you're about to graduate, update your resume. But when you work with a professional resume writer, when that's what they do and they specialize in getting you a job, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
You know, I hired someone out of Silicon Valley. I got a good referral. It was worth it to go through that coaching experience, to go through that resume writing experience. And the bottom line is that you have a lot of people who are leaving their jobs. There's a lot of competition as well.
Facts.
And so for me, I believe that I am a strong writer. However, that's not my profession.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, the investment was worth it. And so, and also as a person of color, sometimes we don't get our resume looked at because of the, you know, our name alone.
Name alone.
I mean, you don't know too many folks with my name,
right.
You know. So I needed to make sure that I'm putting my best foot forward, yeah. especially the higher you go. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that you can stand out among hundreds right. or even thousands of applicants. So for me, it was worth the investment. Thank you, Marcus.
Oh, man. Thank you. A nice ROI on it too, you know.
It was a really good return on investment because if you get your resume done and you get a new job,
yeah,
that's worth the investment. Yeah, pays for itself.
And Shire, I mean, let's just be honest with you. I mean, it got you into some spaces and some interviews that, man, it was.
Yes.
You got to sit in front of some powerful people and interview, you know, on some different positions. So it's been great.
Yes,
it's been great.
Yes, I used that resume for jobs that I really didn't qualify for, but, you know, was there, was looking good. So, you know, I threw my name in the hat and I got a couple of interviews. I knew I probably wasn't going to get the job because it was just way out there. But it got me in some doors.
Yep.
And it, you know, someone was said, you know, I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to move you forward, but can I take your resume and share it with a few other people that I know?
Yeah.
And I had never had a job do that.
No.
So, you know, if the resume was looking all janky, yeah. they would have wanted to pass it on, you know. Yeah. So I was really appreciative to that. So think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about getting your resume updated and working with a professional. Yeah. Okay, a professional. Of course, you can get feedback from other people, but when you are working with someone, this is their career. They're going to set you on the right path if you connect with the right person. Another thing that I did was I talked to others who had recently left.
Mm.
So some companies are really having a mass exodus. And yeah. so if you know someone who's recently left the organization, learn about their experience. Mm-hmm. Learn do they have any regrets, you right. know? How has their life changed since leaving? Ask their advice. And so that's one of the things that I did. And it helped me to take that step because yeah. it was really hard leaving.
Yeah.
You know, they call where I was at, the golden handcuffs.
Pension,
you know,
good benefits, all the gas they hit you with to take less salary, in my opinion. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot.
They sell you on the package and not the experience, you know, not the working experience, when both matter.
Yeah.
Know?
They both matter.
Yeah,
they both matter.
Yeah.
So with that being said, yeah, connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be in your organization or outside. So you always want to get another perspective if you can.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is I had to get clear on why I was leaving. I did not want to leave because it was a trendy thing to do.
Yep.
I don't want to leave because other people left. I don't want to leave because the internet is talking about the Great Resignation and there's tons of YouTube videos on the Great Resignation. Like, I needed to get clear on why I wanted to leave. Okay. And then also, if you're offered another position, like, don't just look at salary, right? Like, look at the benefit package as well, so that you can make the best decision for yourself. So benefits in terms of health, your health care, investment account access. Mm-hmm. Will you have access to a pension, a 401k, a 403b, a 457?
Mm-hmm. Match looking like?
Yeah, exactly. Will the employer make contributions?
Yeah.
And then also think about flexibility. That's what a lot of people are thinking about right now, you know? So will you be able to maintain that work-life balance? And also think about how this position is going to serve you as you're working towards your financial goals. Because I'm not just working just to work, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not just working just to pay bills today, but I'm also using that income to invest for, you know, for the future.
Tomorrow, right.
And for tomorrow. So those are just three things that I did that helped me get my resume done. Get that cover letter done too, mm-hmm. okay? Talk to others. And one thing I didn't say is I like to talk to some of the older people in the organization who are further along in their career path. And one question that I ask is, if you were my age or when you were my age, and, you know, would you still continue with this organization knowing what you know now, or would you have left? And there have been people who told me, if, you know, I wish I would have left, but I got too deep into it. Right. So I'm here now, you know? So anywho, and then also I got clear about why I was leaving.
Yeah. And Shire, just to get it, you know, one of the things that stood out to me is understanding why you're leaving. You know, I never want to be that person that I'm leaving because so-and-so made me mad or because my boss did X. If I know that I need this money, if I know that this is something I need, I'm not leaving until I have something of equal or greater value in place. And I think a lot of times maybe we're in a rush to leave. Someone made me mad. I don't like this. I'm going to leave before I have my next plan of action in place.
It's a risk. It's a risk.
And so I think that's one thing that I love that you did. He's like, you know what? There's some things I want to change about my current situation, but I'm going to not move until I have all my ducks in a row. And I think that's something that we hope that you do. Don't, like Shire said, don't do it because it's trendy. Don't do it because everybody's online telling you to go be a business owner and quit your 9-to-5 and this and that.
Oh my goodness.
Just make sure you got your stuff together before you do something like that.
Right. How many stories have you seen? Mom quits, six-figure job to become a multimillionaire in 12 months.
Becomes a trillionaire selling rubber bands. Or, you know, it's always something like, huh? How did they do that? And what Shire was noticing was the social media platforms were giving her ads that were like feeding this, you want to leave thing. And it's just like, it almost became comical to us. Like, really?
Yeah. The
Mom
algorithm.
Mom quits her job. The algorithm, man. That's a whole nother topic. But
right. It knew
that she was looking elsewhere and it was feeding her that, well, just jump. But you want to be calculated. And Shire was that. She prepared properly and she had that big joker. If you don't got that big joker in your pocket, don't quit just yet.
Yeah, I mean, or think twice, right? Yeah, because if you're in a place and it's, you know, you're getting sick, you know, there have been studies that have shown that your boss is more important to your health than your primary care physician. They have more influence over your health. So, like, if you're in a toxic environment, then I'm not saying that you should stay, but what I am saying is, do you have savings set aside? Yeah. Do you have, you know what I'm saying?
Back to basics.
And are you prepared to go into those savings? Is your situation bad enough for you to go into those savings?
There we go.
You know what I'm saying? To exit early. And plus, you have leverage. You know, when you're in an interview and you already have a job, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you don't like the job, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I got a job. Yep. Okay. You know, I have a career, you know? So I'm the prize, you know, I am the prize. You know, you're lucky if you get me, you know? So I think that you have a different swag about you if you know that you already have a job and you know, and I think that's something that they employers look at favorably. Mm-hmm. Because if you go to an interview and you say, yeah, I didn't like them, so I quit, or so and such and such didn't go my way, so I quit, then they might think, okay, well, if she doesn't like it here, she might quit.
Right.
He or she might up and leave us. So there's a lot of factors to think about how you might be perceived. And then, of course, you never want to go into an interview and talk negative about your employer.
Current employer.
You know, so just, you know, think twice. If you want to participate in the great resignation or the, you know, it's really a switching of jobs. Yep. I think people are seeing their self-worth, their self-value. Inflation is through the roof and they're looking at that paycheck like, you know, I deserve more for what I'm doing. Right. I bring more value to the workplace. I think people are seeing that. And if you're seeing that in your own life, think about it. Mm-hmm. Consider it. Be open and be smart about it.
Be smart about it for sure. Shire, I appreciate you sharing your story. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Like I said earlier, if you did, if you love anything we have to say here on this podcast, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. We truly appreciate it. So till next time, this is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shire.
I'm going to holler at y'all later. Peace.
Bye.